make for our dinner, our lives, our cultures washed away, all because they wouldn't admit foul play.
Welcome back to Eco Talk, and we are talking about what fossil fuels pouring into our environment have done in terms of climate change. Let's talk about some alternatives like biofuels. In this segment, we'll get a report from our science contributor, Shauna Weber, and we'll also then be speaking with someone in studio to get more information about what biofuels are showing promise and some of the downsides as well, not too many actually, but a few to consider. So first, this report from Shauna Weber.
We know that fossil fuels' days are numbered, a flash in the pan compared to how long humans have been burning things for fuel. We actually did pretty well before oil became all the rage starting in 1872. Oil had been around before that, but only as a worthless annoyance when drilling for water, and amazingly enough, as a cure-all medicine. Believe it or not, people drank this stuff for a variety of illnesses before they ever thought to burn it. But before oil and coal, we burned a number of things to stay warm and cook our food. Most of it was biofuel, fuels made from renewable plant materials like wood and other fibers. Today, biofuels are being revisited in a more sophisticated way, to be sure, but all we're doing is recycling very old and reliable ideas. So what exactly are biofuels in today's market? They are still plant-based, processed from fast-growing trees, shrubs, and grasses, collectively known as biomass crops. And by the way, corn is nothing but a big grass. The result is ethanol, otherwise known as wood alcohol. You can make it out of industrial forestry residues, industrial waste, municipal solid waste, or pretty much any sort of plant fiber. The really terrific thing about biomass crops is that they absorb CO2 as they grow, that nasty greenhouse gas we're all so worried about. When they're burned as biofuel, that CO2 is released again, but it's the same amount that was absorbed during growth. So the result is no net gain of CO2 to the atmosphere. Fossil fuels, on the other hand, dump all that ancient, stored-up carbon straight into the modern atmosphere. Biodiesel is also a biofuel. The original diesel engine, designed by Rudolf Diesel around 1897, ran on vegetable oil. Now, more than 100 years later, we're going back to Diesel's original idea, using waste animal fats or vegetable oils from kitchen fryers to make biodiesel. It requires a minimal amount of processing and can run in any standard diesel engine. Replacing fossil fuels with as many renewable biofuels as we can will help reduce the amount of greenhouse gases we are producing. Reducing our demand for fuels overall would significantly boost that benefit. After all, there are a lot of people who'd rather eat that corn than see it burned in my car. For EcoTalk, I'm Shauna Weber.
And we're back speaking with Alan Dussault. He is the program director at Sustainable Conservation based here in San Francisco. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Let's first talk about biodiesel. That's the biofuel we're hearing most about recently, and there's a lot of excitement about it.
Yeah, biodiesel is now starting to gain quite a bit of popularity. Nationally, it's made quite a bit of inroads. I think there's about 75 million gallons of biodiesel being produced today, and that's three or four or five times what, you know, just a couple of years ago what we were producing.
And that's basically just vegetable oil?
Yeah, it's mostly vegetable oil, typically soybeans, Midwest soybeans, in fact. That's about 90 to 95% of where our biodiesel comes from, and there's some additional biodiesel from the restaurant waste and whatnot.
But, and, of course, only a few types of cars can use them, the Volkswagens and the old Mercedes.
Right. We're talking about diesel vehicles. Of course, you can run a diesel bus on it, and then there are diesel vehicles, Mercedes and Volkswagen, and a couple others have been produced. In Europe, they actually, I think the majority of cars now are diesel cars.
There sure is a lot of passion. You know, the grassroots activists, those who are purveying everything from gasoline to biodiesel, you know, the French fry oil veggie van, you know, traversing across America. There's, you know, been a lot of publicity about it, but not a lot of people realize you have to have a certain type of car, and it's just a minority of vehicles at this point. What is the hope and the promise? Do we have to get Detroit to make more vehicles that can be converted, or can we actually expect them to start making cars from the beginning with biodiesel in mind? Or that would make too much sense, probably.
Yeah, I think we have to. There's a couple factors here. One is there has to be a demand for diesel vehicles. And historically, they've been considered dirty vehicles, at least in the United States. However, the technology has advanced very significantly so that diesel vehicles now are much, much cleaner. And if you run them on biodiesel, of course, they're even that much cleaner still. Biodiesel does have both the greenhouse gas benefits air quality benefits. There is one downside, and that's a slight increase in NOx emissions, nitrogen oxide emissions, which have caused some environmentalists to take some issue with it. That's a solvable problem, and there's additives and whatnot. So,
what about getting it? It seems to be, even in the Bay Area, kind of difficult to find suppliers.
Yeah, and I think that's a function in part of getting the demand here, but getting the infrastructure set up. We do have a diesel infrastructure, but what we need to have really is a biodiesel infrastructure. That's in the works. But it's taking more time than I'd like to see it take.
And we're saving the best for the last, and that's how we can get energy from cow manure. But we're going to look at ethanol first, because that's the one that we're also hearing a lot about, and also very controversial.
Well, ethanol is somewhat controversial. It's getting a little less these days. And ethanol can be made from any number of different sources. You can make it from the actual grasses themselves. It's a little more difficult. But new technologies are making that more attractive. In the next 5 or 10 years, we'll see ethanol made from crop waste and things that normally would not be used for anything. But we're currently making it mostly from corn, Midwest corn, and there is some environmental impact associated with that, but you have to compare it to the impact associated with going and bringing oil in from the Middle East. And about 60% of oil is imported from outside this country. And there's a lot of impacts from that, not only environmental, but energy security as well.
And what should we look for on the near-term horizon as far as ethanol being part of the mix?
Well, in many states now, Minnesota, California, and other states, there's been a requirement to have ethanol as a blend. California's requirement's going away for some other reasons, but other states are now adopting what are called E5, E20 requirements to blend a certain amount of ethanol into E10 is another popular one, into the gas tank. And we'll see more of that, I think, as we go forward.
We are speaking with Alan DeSalt. He manages the implementation of the Sustainable Agriculture Program, which aims to reduce the impact of California's agricultural industries on our air, water, and land resources. And in that capacity, you've been working on something called the methane digester. What is that?
Basically, a methane digester is a vessel for putting in, well, we use in California manure, but you can use other crop waste to produce methane gas is what the object is. And under anaerobic decomposition, which takes place in these vessels, the methane that's produced can be used either to generate electricity with a generator set, or to make it into vehicle fuel, which is a sort of a new idea, and that's something we've been working on.
Not to get too graphic here, but how do you capture cow gas?
Well, it's not as difficult as it may sound. We actually don't look at the cow itself for plugging that cow in to generate the gas. We actually wait till the waste products, the manure, have been ejected, if you will, from the cow.
Feed them a lot of beans and then stand by.
You don't even have to feed them beans. but you collect that manure and, again, put it in an anaerobic digester. And the methane that's produced, it's actually a biogas. It has to be cleaned up a little bit. Once you do that, you can actually make what's a natural gas equivalent. People forget natural gas is methane. That's what it is. It comes from fossil sources. We're saying let's try and make it from renewable sources. And manure, believe it or not, is a renewable resource. And we have a lot of it in the United States.
Now, the Strauss Dairy here in Northern California installed one of these methane digesters. There was a lot of publicity about it, it seems to me, about a year ago. Do you know how it's actually going on a real farm?
Yes. I mean, and we have over a dozen actually going California farms, and there's several dozen nationally that are going in other states, Wisconsin, Minnesota, New York, et cetera. But on the Strauss Dairy, they are generating electricity with that. Interestingly, the dairyman that owns that also has an electric vehicle. So he's actually running his electric vehicle off the electricity produced from cow manure. So
the Strausses are a very green family. They had the first organic milk really before anyone else did.
Right. And you don't have
bottles. They sell it in bottles because they can be returned to the store and reused instead of discarded.
Yes, they're looking at the big picture environmentally, and they're doing very well.
So what should we look for in the big picture? We're talking about renewable energy, and that's been the big buzzword. If we're going to get off oil, what's the promise of renewable? Looking at biodiesels as a piece of that, what can we hope for? What should we be demanding?
Well, I think the first thing we should demand of our politicians are to put in the necessary incentives to allow the farmers to grow it and allow the consumers to use it. There is a national incentives and some state incentives for actually producing biodiesel and using it. I think what we need to be thinking about is having minimum blends, maybe having for example, a 5% requirement in our diesel fuel or 2% even. That has some environmental benefits. profit. And I think that by putting it in, by blending it in small proportions, we actually help get this industry going in a big way, because those small amounts are actually huge numbers. When you're talking about something like 20 million barrels a day of oil being consumed in the U.S., you know, 2 or 3 or 4 or 5% of that is a lot of renewable fuel. And that's probably the best way to start moving.
We have a pretty active audience. If listeners want to go someplace and learn more about these options and maybe what they can do to increase demand, where should they go?
Well, our website has some background information. It's www.suscon.org. There's also U.S. Department of Energy has a website that has information, as well as I believe U.S. EPA does.
And any more pitfalls to biodiesel? Is there some negatives in terms of, you mentioned one, but anything else we should be aware of?
Well, you do have to grow crops to produce it, and crops require water, they require fertilizer and other things. So there is some environmental impact with that. We're working to actually reduce that, as are the growers. So over time, we're getting better. It's becoming more environmentally sound, but there's more to be done. But we have to recognize we're comparing this not to not doing anything, but to importing oil and using petroleum, which is probably one of the worst options we have.
So ideally, we look at agricultural byproducts as a source for biofuels, because that's would otherwise be wasted anyway. That's not creating something new just for the purpose of creating energy.
Right, and recognize that when we grow corn or soybeans, we're growing those crops for their co-products, that is for animal feed and other things. So it's not just fuel we're producing, we're producing other valuable products when we make the fuel.
Alan DeSalle, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We've been speaking with the Program Director of Sustainable Conservation, a group based in San Francisco, looking into options, viable options for renewable energy. When we come back, we'll help you reduce your energy bill this winter. The tankless water heater, up next on EcoTalk.
So people, let's lead the way as we create our future today. The pollution that we create is